Hello and welcome to the latest installment of PSG Talking. I'm your host, Ed, and on today's show, I'm going to be joined by two guests, and we're going to be talking all about the transfers that PSG made official this week. We're going to touch on Leonardo's somewhat surprising comments about Kylian Mbappe, and then maybe debate whether we could see some surprise departures this summer from PSG. But first, I want to go on a little bit of a rant, as I'm known to do. Something came across my social media feed that I just wanted to touch on, and it was the opening, PSG opening their third retail store in the United States, where I live, in Las Vegas. They already have stores in Miami, in New York, and you may be thinking, Ed, why are you upset about them opening a store? It's just a store, who cares, right? The more I think about it, the more I get bothered by it. And before I get into that, let me just read you a couple lines, because it sort of sets up why I'm a little irritated. So these are lines from the press release. The opening of a new Paris Saint-Germain store in Las Vegas reflects the club's massive potential for development in the United States. Continues to say, Paris Saint-Germain has strengthened its presence in the country with the opening of a new store in downtown Las Vegas. All right. Few issues I've got with this one. The first being that PSG, instead of announcing a store, they should be announcing a preseason tour. They haven't been to the United States since 2017. I understand the pandemic, that kind of, you know, you're not going to travel with that. Totally understand that. But why not this season? There's really no other reason why. Look at the clubs coming here this summer. You've got Arsenal, Manchester United, Barcelona, Real Madrid, AC Milan, Juventus. Hell, even Wrexham. Wrexham are coming here to play a game. In California, I believe. I was surprised, but not PSG. Oh, no, no, no. A store in Caesar's Palace is the best they can do. That is their strategy to grow the club's identity here in America. And I just... What bothers me the most is that these stores, they don't grow the fan base in a meaningful way. Especially in Las Vegas, which is primarily visited by tourists that already likely have teams. They probably follow those teams that actually, you know, come here to play games and are actually easy to find on TV and streaming devices. You know, they're already fans of those teams. They're not going to be, oh, you know, gambling in Caesar's Palace and then, oh, a PSG store. I know, I'm going to start following that team. That's not how it works. You fall in love with players. Some people fall in love with clubs winning trophies, whatever, but you fall in love with players in the history of a club, maybe where they're located, maybe you have a tie to France or Paris. That's why people fall in love with a club, not because you're opening a retail store. All of that's doing is just creating more and more fake fans. It's like when I was here locally going to my local MLS team and they were selling bootleg Messi PSG jerseys. They didn't have the PSG jersey showing the badge. They had it so you could see Messi's name on the back. We need to get away from all that, creating fake fans who don't really care and selling, you know, jerseys just because it has a Jordan logo on it. If you want to grow and develop your club here in America, you have to be easy to find on TV. You've got to actually come here and visit. You got to put the work in. You can't just open up a store, let Lids, who's partnered with them, run the store and sell jerseys for $150. I mean, that's not how you're going to do it. So, very frustrated with PSG's strategy. I guess from a marketing and financial perspective, I guess it makes sense. But the club, as we've seen from the transfer market, is trying to get away from the Messi and Sergio Ramos signings, these big name signings. Neymar, I think they're, you know, we're trying to offload. They're trying to get away from that, spending money foolishly on big names who are just coming in to go through the motions and they don't have the passion. Right, we sold off Christopher Nkunku, who would have played for the badge, and we're bringing in Messi, who just trotted around and skipped training. We got to get away from that. Not a fan of it. I think that they, as I said, work harder to get BN Sports readily available for people on streaming services. Anything that you can do, maybe work to get League On into a different platform, CBS or any of the Peacock, ESPN, some different streaming platform, so people can actually watch the matches. Why not invest in a Major League Soccer team if you're committed to developing your club here? Manchester City, they are owners of NYCFC. So there's a million more things that PSG could do to grow the club organically here in America other than opening up a store, which is just going to sell merchandise to people who just want to look cool and think PSG is a fashion brand, which a lot of the true supporters have an issue with. You know, it's frustrating when you see people wearing a PSG shirt and they just have no idea where they finish in the table, you know, who's playing in midfield. They probably can't name five players. So it's just frustrating. And the opening, when I saw that news, the press release, when I saw that, it just sort of frustrated me. So I wanted to go on a little bit of a rant there. Thank you for listening to that. All right, let's move on. That's all I got to say about that. We got a great show for you. We've got the man behind PSG Report. If you're a PSG fan, a true PSG fan, you probably follow him on Twitter. He is great, keeps everyone up to date in English on the breaking news. He's a busy man. This is transfer window, so I was lucky to get him for about 15 minutes or so and ask him all about the latest transfers, get his thoughts on Mbappe. And then, of course, we've got Ethan from PSG Fan Club Boise. He's coming on to talk about those Leonardo comments, the preseason, and so much more. So without further ado, we'll get right into the interviews. All right, thanks for joining me. We have PSG Report. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate it. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thank you for inviting me over on this podcast. It's a pleasure. Can't wait to get started.
Well, let's get right into it. Before we get into it, I had you on because I want to talk about all of the transfers that are going on. You're really on top of it, translating the news and getting out there for all the English-speaking PSG fans. But that's where I want to start. How did you become a PSG fan? Why did you start PSG Report? Walk me through how that all started.
So essentially, I started watching football from the 2014 World Cup onwards because that was a young age that my parents watched. I watched it with my parents. And late 2015, my parents took me to the park for the first time. It was a thing against Toulouse, and we won that game. And after that, you know, me as a child, we used to often play video games, and FIFA was my favorite game. So from there on, I just started playing with PSG and, you know, some Premier League clubs, but PSG really caught my attention. And then I really started watching that watched PSG. And then later 2019, I went with my brother to the park again, and I saw my second game, essentially. And from there on, I've been supporting PSG and on starting my Twitter account. I think, you know, from 2020 onwards, there was a lot of Twitter accounts for clubs that started reporting news and stuff. So essentially, everything started from there. I used to like how they do it. And then, as you know, PSG Hub as well. He's one of the most famous people on Twitter out here for regarding PSG. And he was also another main source of inspiration, you know, for doing something like this. And then I had enough time and I got started with it. And now here I am doing it.
And you're here and you're doing it. You're doing it big time. You mentioned PSG Hub, but I mean, pat yourself on the back. I mean, you're right up there with them. You know, both of you are getting stories out. It's amazing. I use you, PSG Hub, as like my two go-to sources of like breaking news. So, I mean, you've done a fantastic job with your Twitter account. Are you a little worried about what Elon's doing to Twitter? Are you on Threads yet, or thinking about making a move over there?
I just started slowly on it, but primarily my focus right now is Twitter because that's the most easiest and convenient.
Yeah, it is still, you know, I'm on Threads with PSG Talk and maybe posting once a day, but, you know, we'll see how things go. I still find Twitter to be a little bit better and more information.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but you never know. You know, 100 million people signed up in 5 days, so we'll save the social media talk for another time. But I wanted to have you on because, again, you're on top of all the transfer rumors and what's going on. So what overall grade would you give PSG so far? And is there a player that you're really excited about that's come in? And then maybe one that you think, I'm not so sure about that one. He might not live up to expectations.
So primarily, I would say a transfer window, I would give it maybe a good 7 out of 10. I think the issue we had the most was a DM, a defensive midfielder, and we've got that with Ugarte. And that's, for me, one of the most essential pieces in the team that was lacking since Thiago Motta left. It was like a good 5 years since he had like a good DM to rely upon. And I think Ugarte and Kang and Lee is the two players I'm most excited about, especially Kang and Lee. You know how many PSG fans are already excited about watching him. And I think those two are the players that excites me the most. Even Lucas Hernandez to a point, depends on how he gets fit and all those things. But when he's fit as well, he's a world-class player. A player that I'm not currently sure about is Asensio, as predictable. For me, I don't think he's necessarily the type that would fit into Ligue 1. It's just my personal opinion. I don't think his style would fit in particularly well with the league style, but with Luis Enrique as the coach, he has coached him in the Spanish national team, so maybe he could work it out. So, but overall, if I would give the transfer window, it'd be a 6.5 out of or 7. But and the player that I'm kind of iffy about is probably Asensio.
Are you getting Hesse vibes from
Oh,
from
not that
Asensio?
bad, not that bad, but I would say not so particularly convinced about that signing. But I'll take it.
Yeah, I really like the Ugarte transfer. 60 million seems a bit rich for him. He's kind of unproven. I mean, he did, I think, was reading these stats. He had the most tackles, most interceptions in the Portuguese league, but he hasn't been there long. So I just worry that he just maybe is a little untested at the highest level that PSG need him to be at, and 60 million is a lot, but that was his buyout fee. So excited about him. I'm with you on Asensio. I did an article in our Substack. I'm not really high on Lucas Hernandez, just coming off the knee injury and then also his large fee that we had to pay to Bayern. So I don't know. I'm a little low on him, but when you look at the squad as a whole here, is there a hole in the squad that you think that PSG has to address? And if you do see a hole in the team, who do you think is out there that's realistic, that PSG could sign to bring in?
I think the two positions that need the most covering right now is the striker department and the right winger. I think Messi's departure opens up to a world-class right winger recruitment, and I think the player that takes the most is Bernardo Silva. I think even Luis Campos knows that Bernardo Silva is a perfect fit for us, and I think he'll replace that right flank perfectly, and that's what we need. And regarding the striker, I think I would be a bit more open for me because there are two to three options for me that I would prefer. My first option would have been Harry Kane because he perfectly corresponds to the style that Mbappe plays as well. Kane could put those passes through in behind for Mbappe, which is one of the best things you could see. And for me, Kane looks to be heading to Bayern. And he's looking to snub a move from PSG, so I don't essentially now consider him a valuable target. And my second preference would be Gonçalo Ramos from Benfica. I think for me, he fits into that lethal number nine finishing, although he isn't particularly a good build-up player with by passing, by efficiency, etc. But on pure goal scoring and lethal finishing, I would say Gonçalo Ramos fits the bill for me.
Have you seen much in what you're reporting on Twitter, Jonathan David at Lille? He seems to be a player that is familiar, at least with Ligue 1. He scores plenty of goals, good hold-up play. He seems like a realistic signing. I also like Muani over, was it Frankfurt, from Bondi. Bring him in, pair him with Mbappe. 90 million, I think, has been quoted. What do you think about those two?
For me, regarding Jonathan David, I think what Lille are asking for is around 65, 60 million, and I think that's a bit too much pricey for me, in my opinion. I think a fair deal would be maybe 45, 50-ish would be very reasonable, but 60 is a limit too much for a player of his caliber for me, and hence why I would stop. Regarding Colomwani, the biggest problem is he isn't the out-and-out number nine. He's more essentially like a drifting type winger, like isn't essentially a pure number nine that's going to stay in the box 24/7. And I think if you don't have Mbappe, I don't think Colomwani corresponds to that style that you need.
So you're thinking maybe he could be a replacement if we end up selling Mbappe. He could come in, maybe play on the wing. Kang and Lee, I think he can also play on the wing. He could be an option. We talked about Asensio, but I think both of us aren't too high on him. So there's some options out there. I also like Balogun. He's an
Balogun's
Arsenal
good
man.
shout.
Yeah, he's an Arsenal man, but I don't know if they really need him. They might be looking to cash in on him after a great season at Stade de Reims. So there's some options out there. We'll have to see. I like Bernardo Silva. Why do you think that decision hasn't been made? It seems like that City want to sell or would be willing to, and he wants to leave and has said. Yeah, go ahead.
Essentially, what I thought was our coach file was delaying that file. Essentially, we didn't have a coach, so we couldn't move forward. But now we have Luis Enrique. And for me, I think what's stopping us the most is probably City's asking price. I've heard some people saying it's close to 100 million. I've seen various insider accounts saying it's close to 90 plus 100. City want that amount. And plus, they want to keep him as well, which makes it even more complicated. So I think what's essentially stopping is, for me, Bernardo Silva has to communicate that I want to go to PSG, essentially, to get this all jump-started. I think until he says that, it's going to be really slow, and I don't essentially see Bernardo coming until mid-August or maybe early August.
And now I saw reports Barcelona might be interested. I just worry if we wait too long, you know, the Saudi league's going to come in. We just saw what they did with Milinkovic-Savic. I mean, they're pulling some pretty high-profile names.
Yeah, big money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm worried the longer we wait that maybe he could be enticed by a big offer. Speaking of Barcelona, their rivals, Real Madrid, always rumored to be in for Kylian Mbappe, and I would be remiss if I didn't get your opinion on that whole situation. Feels like we're at a bit of a stalemate currently. Do you think it's Mbappe's goal to ultimately leave on a free transfer at the end of next season? Is that, you think, his goal? Or is there a way that you think PSG could sell him this summer? What's going on with that whole situation?
It's a tough choice, honestly. For me, as a player, I love Mbappe. I think it's pretty common regarding with PSG fans. And for me, I would love him to stay. But with him staying, I think he needs to project a long-term solution. For me, I don't see the idea of just extending a year and then selling him later this next summer. I don't believe that's a quite good idea. Of course, we may get the transfer fee we're looking for, but I think when you're looking from a sporting point of view, from a rebuilding stance, it's a Luis Enrique era. We're starting a new era. And I think for me, either Mbappe has to project himself over 2 to 3 years for me is what I would like, because I would love him to stay at the club for as much as longer, because he's essentially a world-class player and he's maybe the best player in the world in the future. But for me, I think we've been going through this story, Mbappe and Real Madrid and PSG, for like almost, we're in the third season now. It started from 2021. We went through it last summer before his extension, and then we got it again. We are starting with it now. For me, a decision has to be made, and for me, I think what he initially thought was to leave on a free, maybe 2024, but with Benzema leaving, he maybe accelerated that process, and you know, maybe sent, because the letter initially was dated last year, so it was last summer, and you resend that letter again. For me, I think that initially shows that he wants to leave this summer. Essentially, he's telling to PSG, He's not going to extend his contract. He's putting pressure. Benzema's gone. There's a big void that Real Madrid needs to fill. I think, for me, PSG will be pushing on that button to sell. I think if given the chance, I think he will go. I don't see him essentially extending at this point. But you never know. That's my perspective. Everyone has their different opinion. So I would say, for me, I think he goes this summer.
I mean, Real Madrid fans have told me, we've got the money, no problem, we could pay up to 200 million. I talked to Jonathan Johnson, who covers PSG for CBS Sports, and he's like, I'm not so sure they'll have the funds. And then I saw a story today that it said Real Madrid finances 122 million costs unexplained in latest results, UEFA FFP regulations tested by new financing arrangements. I don't know what's going on with their finances, but say PSG decided, well, you know what, you're not going to give us another year or two contract extension. We want to sell you. How much could we realistically get from Real Madrid for Mbappe, do you think? Is 150 even too much?
Essentially, initially when the PSG community, you know, when they put out an info saying 250 was the agreed deal, I think it was quite shocking. And for me, that's a no-brainer. I don't think we're even going to touch 200. I think for me, that limit right now is probably a maximum of 180 million. Even that's too much. But I think even Fabrizio Romano said if Mbappe doesn't extend, PSG wouldn't let him go for cheap. So essentially, I don't think we would go for like an 80 or 100. I don't think Mbappe would definitely go in that way. I think 160 to 180, And I think Real Madrid has the funds. I think Real Madrid will pull up with that funds, is what I believe.
Interesting. Do we think this extends all transfer window this summer, or do you think we'll get, because I know there's a loyalty bonus involved if he stays at the club through the end of the month, correct me if I'm wrong, of like 40 million euro, something
By
like
July.
that. Yeah, so
By July, that's the first part.
do we think this gets solved this month, or is it next month? Give me a time frame of what you would expect.
I would say probably a de decision from PSG side by preseason, maybe before the Japan tour. So maybe July 24, that week, it gets like really heated up. A transfer, I would say maybe by mid-August or early August. I would say by that time, August 5th to 10th, or because the first game at the Parc des Princes is at August the 13th. So I definitely don't think, because for me, I think maybe the Ultras might boo him. You never know, but I think that's there's a big risk with that. Although I don't essentially think the Ultras will boo him, but you can't take a chance with them. We have seen what happens when things go bad. The Ultras tend to get real mad and start booing, and we've seen that with the recent Champions League and the headquarters, etc. But for me, I think if he were to leave, he would leave before the first League on match day. So essentially before the August 13th, he would be departing PSG if he were to leave.
And that would mean he would probably miss Real Madrid's preseason tour. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the Ultras have booed Mbappe before, going
Yeah,
back
we've seen
to.
that in 2021 when he requested a transfer. Ultras booed him from the first game onwards, but he changed those boos to cheers. That's his credit and his caliber of that player, but we've seen that happen.
I mean, I just don't know why he's jerking the club around. He probably should have never signed that last extension. PSG report, I got one more question for you. We've talked about some of the more high-profile names. I want to kind of stay on that a little bit. So other than Mbappe, who may or may not be leaving, there's some other players we expect to leave. Icardi is gone. Maybe Kurzawa, we'll have to see. Some of those kind of fringe players. But do you think that there could be another surprise sale? Maybe Marco Verratti. I saw that Atletico Madrid were sort of kicking the tires on that, maybe making an offer. Or do you think maybe Neymar? MLS rumors coming up. I don't know how realistic that is. But do you think we could see a marquee name other than Mbappe leave this summer?
Regarding a marquee name, I personally don't see Verratti and Neymar leaving. I think from a sporting point of view, regarding Verratti, of course there's interest from Saudi Arabia. We've known that. But I've already heard reports that he's not particularly interested in that move. So we'll have to see on that. Regarding Atletico, I don't think they genuinely have the funds for that. Because I think PSG are going to quote a minimum 50 million. Because I heard when Saudi Arabia came knocking, some sources mentioned 80 to 100 million is what they're asking for. So I think from a European club, 40, 50 million, and I don't think essentially Atletico Madrid have that money, because we have seen that they're not a particularly rich club that's going to spend big on the market. Essentially, if he's getting sold in, I would say, maybe Premier League clubs, but I don't see any Premier League clubs that's going to come forward and pay a good huge money for him. Same for Neymar as well. I think MLS and Saudi Arabia, I don't see, although PSG might accept a good deal, I don't see Neymar leaving for Saudi or MLS at this stage of his career. Perhaps, I think he's looking forward to that 2026 World Cup. He wants to stay in Europe. And regarding Premier League clubs, we've heard that United might come in if Qatar buy that club, but that's still a long shot. United's process has been delaying. I've been actually following that process because to see what happens, but it's been a long shot, and I don't see Qatar getting that club by this transfer window.
Yeah, Verratti is a difficult one. He's a player that I've always said I would consider if it was, 80 to 100. I think absolutely I would listen to that sort of offer for him. But with him in the squad, I really like our midfield. We talked about Ugarte, Verratti. We've got Vitinha in there. We got a really nice group of
Good
midfielders.
core.
Yeah, really good core. So I wouldn't mind seeing what goes on. But, 100 million comes in for Verratti. You got to consider it. I think with Neymar, We saw that there was a setback with his ankle, but maybe now he's back on track. He's probably not going to be ready till like September time. I don't need to see another season of him going down with an ankle. If there's any club, whether it's Saudi, anywhere, I would entertain it, encourage Neymar, hey, this would be good for you, and try to get him out the door. Any thoughts on Neymar? Are you completely opposite? You think we need to keep him or what?
It depends on the offer, honestly. If Saudi Arabia, let's say, offers a good 80 to 100 million, I would definitely take it. But we have to look at it from the player's point of view as well. Same goes for Verratti, for example. I don't think they would essentially particularly go to Saudi Arabia. So I think for me, at the end of this transfer window, he's going to stay. And I think with Enrique coming in, that pretty much shuts a departure rumor for me. I think with Enrique as the manager, I think he's definitely going to stay 100%. And essentially, even when the rumor started early in the transfer window, I personally didn't see Neymar leaving. We've seen that from 2021 summer, 2022 summer. We've been trying to part ways with him, essentially look for suitors, but it hasn't happened. I don't see it happening. Plus, he has a long contract, so it's particularly not a quick solution.
Yeah, for selling him, he's got a contract situation that's not ideal. He sort of holds all the cards. If he wants to go, he can, but he wants to stay. So my whole thing is with the injuries. Fantastic player. We saw what he did when he was healthy. So if he can stay healthy, hopefully the ankle's stronger, he's going to be fantastic for us. So it's just, hopefully he can stay healthy. PSG report, thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. We'll have to do this again. We'll set up some time and have you come on, and
Yeah,
hopefully
sure,
we'll
no
have more
problem.
tra-
Just
yeah.
give me a heads up. We could do one before the transfer window closes as well.
Perfect. All right, we'll let you run. Thanks so much, PSG Report. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you so much for having me. Cheers.
Ethan, welcome into the show. How are things on your end? Did you take any vacation time over the 4th of July break?
Yeah, I went up to a little mountain town up here in central Idaho and hung out there a bit. Not too much, just kind of a relaxing 4th of July. I know you told me you went on a trip, did you not? What did you do?
I did. So if you're watching this on YouTube, I don't know if we'll have video or not, but you can probably tell my face is a little red. I went down to Arizona. I was down in Phoenix, where it was, I'm not even kidding you, 115 degrees. And so I just roasted. So I am more red than usual. And so, but I had a great time. Took the family, went to Grand Canyon, hung out at the pool. Great time. Love being down there. Love the desert. I just don't know if I could live there. 115 degrees. It's crazy. Don't ever put an MLS team there. You just can't do it.
Yeah, it'd be too much. My parents recently moved down to that area, and I will be there next month, and it's going to be 118, I think, at some point. Yeah, and I'm a person that I kind of run hot anyway, so that's just anything over 90 is so uncomfortable for me, and I just always love the winter. So, yeah, I'm going to be pretty miserable, but I don't know. Yeah, maybe I can get a little bit of a tan.
Yeah, a little bit of a tan. I just get red and then I peel, then I'm still pale. But speaking of hot, things are heating up. How about that for a transition with Kylian Mbappe? Because his contract situation is the number one issue at the club right now. Will he extend? Will PSG sell? I saw a stat that French people are starting to sour on his popularity a bit. I don't know, maybe they're starting to see the kind of hypocrisy of some of the things that he says, where he talks about at the award ceremony, hey, I need more responsibility. I'm ready to take that on. But then also, don't ask me about the squad. It's not my business. It's talk to the other people. And then you have this quote from Leonardo that came out, and I just thought absolutely hit the nail on the head. So let me read what he said, and then we'll get into the reaction to it. So Leonardo said, for the good of PSG, I think the time has come for Mbappe to go no matter what. He's been at Paris for 6 years, and over those 6 seasons, five different clubs have won the Champions League, none of which had Mbappe in their ranks. That means it's entirely possible to win the competition without him. What are your thoughts on Leonardo's comments? Why did he say them? And why do you think he's publicly coming out and slamming him? Do you think this is Nasser calling up his old buddy, hey, I need you to get out there and do some damage control. We need, say this about Mbappe, or what's going on there? Because I know you're the president of the Leonardo fan club.
Oh yeah, if you guys know me at all, I'm a big Leonardo guy. But I will give him this. You know, I criticize him whenever he comes up. But his first stint at PSG was obviously great. Back in the beginning of the QSI era, no one's doubting that. It's just that was 9-10 years ago. So his second stint as president was pretty poor. And the thing that I find interesting, what he said is true, though, and it's a really good point. If you look at the five teams that have won it, I think, Real Madrid twice in there, if I'm remembering right, Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City now, and Bayern. So three different countries. The model that we most need to follow as far as those clubs is Bayern, being that we're the richest club in what's considered a one-club league. And, you know, they've won it. They've had other chances to win it. They've made, you know, they've had good runs outside of just the one time that they won it, you know, beating us in the final in 2020. But I do think it's a little interesting that he was a part of the management when they extended Kylian. Yet now, you know, that was basically the last thing that Leonardo could put on his resume as far as, you know, things I did at PSG. The last thing he did was get Mbappe to extend, and then he was fired a couple weeks later. So it's funny that he says that, but now he's saying he should leave. It's like, well, we all know that we have the chance to sell him for 180 million-ish what was it, 2021, summer 2021, when he was at the club. So kind of interesting that he would say that now, but it does definitely feel not like a whole culture shift or anything, but it does feel like, you know, in 2021, we were thinking, yeah, let's, and I could kind of see why the club played it risky. Let's fight for his, you know, extension and his signature, because I'm not quite sure what they would have done if he hadn't extended, but it feels like now the club realizes they shouldn't try and risk that a second time. I think we got pretty fortunate the first time to make him extend. I mean, we offered him a big salary, obviously. Real Madrid offered him, the reports, I mean, we'll never really know, but the reports are something like 60 million a year, and we offered him 72 plus image rights. So that was obviously the difference, and I'm sure Nasser said, hey, just give it a couple more years, you know, we can do 2 years.
Isn't that, everyone's always saying generational wealth and all that. What is there a big difference between 60 and 72 million? If you just set aside image rights, I think Real Madrid were giving him a decent percentage, more than probably most footballers would, but like between 60 and 72, if your dream is to always, and that's what we're always told, his dream is to play for Real Madrid, for 10, 12 extra million, like, why wouldn't you just go? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I totally get that. I think that people overinflate. Then again, this is me talking as a PSG fan. I'm sure if you asked a Real Madrid fan, they'd say differently. But I think people overinflate the idea of Mbappe playing at Real Madrid. Obviously, it's well known that he almost certainly would love to play there someday. But I don't think he's going to, you know, he's going to play there, but he's going to want to receive the same sort of offer as he's going to get from anyone else. You know, if he's got somewhat equal offers on the table, then Real Madrid's going to win. But it seems that whatever Nasser said to him, plus the extra 12 mil a year, plus the full image rights opposed to partial, that was enough to keep him there. And, you know, I think a part that we don't consider a lot is probably the conversations that he had with Nasser and Leonardo back then, where they probably told him, hey, just give it, you know, we'll do this contract. It'll be 2 years plus a player option. Obviously, he's declined the player option, or he's going to. I think he has until, I forget if he had until June, end of June or end of July to do that this year. But
yeah,
we know that he's not going to pick up that extension. And if anything, it's going to be, you know, the contract's going to run through 2024, and maybe he'll leave for free. Maybe it'll be an extension. We'll see. But they must have told him, just give it 2 more years, and if you feel good about the third, then you can choose that yourself. But let's try and see what else we can do here. Now, I think that comes with the fact that Leonardo was obviously a sporting director, and anyone at a football club should be assuming that they are going to stay through the next season, you're always working to, hey, if I'm going to be here next year, this is what I want the club to do. You're not doing your planning. You know, Leonardo wasn't doing his planning based on, oh, when Luis Campos is here next year. You know, no one's thinking that way. So he's thinking, yeah, let's give it two more years of this. You know, our expenses were just so high the last couple of years, but it felt like we were going to go two more years, kind of going all in. You know, that's the phrase that we use in American sports, going all in. You know, the Rams did it a couple of years ago and won the Super Bowl, that kind of thing. Just where you're doing risky business and you're going high risk, high reward. Obviously, that was cut short when Leonardo was fired and Campos come in, and he's immediately, you know, already cut 100 million plus off the wage bill and stuff. And he's getting a lot of the deadwood out of there. But I guess I'm kind of beating around the bush to the point of, I think when he says that, obviously, yeah, I think he's made a great point with that quote. It's spot on, because we really look at players, I think, too much as you know, these huge difference makers. We've talked about this before, the difference in level from, you know, a very good to a world-class winger. Obviously, the world-class winger is a lot better, but if the very good winger is going to play better within that team system, then it's just going to be a better fit. I mean, we've seen some of the teams, Real Madrid, when they won it a couple years ago, they weren't the most talented team, but they were the best unit, their best cohesive unit. So I think what Leonardo's going at for is that we can build a strong unit. We've built strong units before we had Mbappe that did somewhat well in the Champions League. We got very close to, I mean, there was a time at the beginning of the QSI era that if we scored one more goal in our quarterfinal ties, we would have made the semifinals four straight times. And who knows if we win it one of those times. We had quality teams before Mbappe, and they were just missing that little extra, you know, that little extra whatever they needed. And since then, we just haven't been as consistent, obviously. A lot of round of 16 exits. But then, obviously, we had two semifinals and a final appearance in there. So I guess that was a pretty lengthy, kind of all over the place response. But, yeah, Leonardo is right. If I get, you know, the idea of making one guy the face of your sporting project, but if he's not a team player, if you're not going to play as a team anyway, then it ultimately won't likely matter. And I feel like we're a great example of that.
Yeah, I guess what we don't know is, was Leonardo 100% on board with, you know, handing everything over to Mbappe and re-signing him? Maybe that's why he ended up leaving shortly after the deal was done. Maybe he didn't agree with it. It also sounds like something's changed. It's weird, right? He signed the contract and then immediately said, wrote that letter, forget about that third year. You know, was the agreement always to maybe come to an agreement with Real Madrid in January to sell him at the end of this season? It just seems like a promise was broken, or Mbappe has changed his mind. Something has gotten lost in translation, or someone went back on their word. It's not reasonable, and Mbappe is a smart person. It's unreasonable for him to have thought, hey, I'm going to sign this contract and they're going to build a team around me all in one transfer window. Like, it just doesn't even seem reasonable. So, like, at the end of the day, I'm just like, well, why did you sign this? Why did we offer it to him? The whole thing doesn't make sense given what we are learning now. So that's what makes me think a promise was broken or Mbappe is kind of backtracking. We had PSG report on, and he said, you know, maybe Benzema leaving wasn't anticipated, and maybe now Mbappe's like, hey, now that spot is open now at Real Madrid, I want to go now. So maybe that's accelerated things a little bit. That's certainly possible. So yeah, I just think for Leonardo to come out that there's something that he's privy to, and that's why he's come out and really is slammed. I mean, this was pretty powerful stuff coming out and going after Mbappe, and again, 100% accurate. So I want to stay on Mbappe because a lot of people have said that he is basically outsmarting PSG with this contract situation, and for the most part, that is true. You know, players in football do have a lot of power, probably more so than what we see in American sports, even though that's starting to turn. LeBron James and other athletes here, we're seeing that the athletes are having a lot more control, where they go, how long they sign, how much they're making. But what tools or strategies or advantages do you think PSG have that they can use to force through what they want, whether that's a sale or getting him to sign an extension or a new contract? What pretend you're at Nasser, what can you do to make this advantageous for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't really thought of that a bunch, but let me try and
– well, yeah, I could just say the one thing that a lot of people are saying, and we can kind of debate it, is, well, if he doesn't want to sign an extension and we can't sell him, bench him. And the argument and all that is, well, it's going to hurt PSG. Obviously, you're not going to have this great player in your team. I think that is probably like a worst-case scenario, last stop benching him for the season and making him train with like 8-year-olds. Like, I think that's like what you do if things just go south really fast. I think it's on the table, but I think that is a break glass in case of emergency situation where you would do that. And so what are your thoughts on the benching him for a season?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we only bench him for the season and don't play him at all if everyone at the club knows that he's not going to be a PSG player on July 1st, 2024, and if he's become this toxic locker room personality where it's just you players can't even stand to have him around just because
we're seeing that. Sorry to cut you off there, but there's a report that some of the new players coming in are apparently fed up. Mbappe had these comments, I don't have them pulled up, but he's basically, you know, at a club, he's like at a club like PSG, things are always chaotic. Like, he was kind of like putting the club down a little bit, and the report is mm-hmm. that some of the players are a little bit upset about him, you know, taking a dump on the club and kind of making it, even if some of it is true, like, you just don't say these things. So he is starting to make it an untenable situation.
Yeah. And I figured you would bring that up. And I was thinking of that when I was saying it. I think it would have to get there times like 10 or 20. You know, I think it would have to be way, way worse than that, because that's him saying that the club is chaotic. That's a dig, but even though it's true, it's a dig, but it's not, you know, it's not awful. It's kind of like, you know, I'm a big Niners fan. If for any NFL guys, I grew up, I've grown up a Niners fan my whole life. And it's like, if I was a player and I just said, we just haven't been clutch the last 10, 15 years, it's a dig, but you know, it's true that they haven't been there in the big moments. You know, they've had many chances to win. They've had 5 good chances to win the Super Bowl since then, and they've gone 0-5 kind of a thing. So it's, you're right. It's a true statement, but yeah, just, I would imagine I have to get way worse, for that to happen. I would not expect that to happen. I think the Emir of Qatar would come in and force Luis Enrique and Campos and Nasser to start him, you know, since he technically is the one who has all this power. He's not often utilizing it. He puts that in Nasser's hands, but I just don't think he's going to let his biggest sports washing asset rot on the bench. So I don't see it happening under basically any circumstance. But if I was Nasser, what I would be doing now to extend him, I mean, I would say, look, we've got Luis Campos, your longtime friend. He's the one who essentially discovered you at Monaco and brought you to Monaco. If we keep him in here for years to come, then, you know, that could help things. They're going to go out and get a striker most likely this season. You know, there've been a lot of talks about that the last couple of days, whether it's going to be Kolumuani, Gonzalo Ramos, Vlahovic. I don't know who it's going to be, but, you know, the striker market's a bit thin right now, as far as we don't have an abundance of options, but we're going to probably go out and get one. And that's going to help, you know, someone who, you know, Mbappe doesn't have to be the sole goal scorer in this current squad on the left wing. And I mean, you can always say, you know, Real Madrid, if they're still not going to give you full image rights, we are. So if you want full image rights, just keep riding with us. We'll keep paying you as much as, you know, whatever they offer you, we'll pay you the same, but you can keep the full image rights. So, as far as, you know, and we've talked about how Kylian's image rights and his brand and his social media, that's a very, very big thing for him, and his family manages that. It's just a huge thing for all big footballers. I mean, if you guys have ever seen the Neymar documentary from a couple years back, you saw how his brand is just as big. It's the same thing. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, go and watch the Neymar document from a couple years ago, and that'll give you a little bit of an insight of what the a player's brand means to them, because it's just about as big as their actual playing career on the field. I know it sounds crazy to say, but it's true. So those are the things that Nasser can highlight if we're going for an extension. If we're going for a sale, then what I do is I hit up Florentino Perez and I say, there's no freaking way you're starting Joselu on loan, who's 33, who you just got from Valencia or someone. You're not starting him at striker this year. That's essentially just saying, and what, are you going to start Rodrigo at striker? He's not best as a striker. He's great on the wing. I think he's super underrated. I know some people don't rate Rodrigo, but I think he's going to be super, super good if he just keeps getting playing time. But like, he's not best on the wing, just how Mbappe is, you know, technically not best at striker, but he would probably compromise and go there if he had the chance. You got to tell Perez, are you seriously not going to, I haven't seen any of these rumors recently, you know, Bayern's in for Harry Kane. They're probably going to get him. We're in for the three guys I mentioned. United are looking at a Danish kid and some other guys. I haven't heard any rumors about what Real Madrid are going to do at striker this year. So they either have it figured out and they're 100% good to go and they're just going to coast and wait for Mbappe to sign on a free next year, most likely. I think if we had to guess, that would be what we'd guess now. Or they are just holding out and they're going to bid 100 and something million for Mbappe near the end of the window. So we've got no time to react and get a signing of our own and do that. So I think it's going to be very interesting because I don't think we can underestimate that Real Madrid, they don't need to be. They're known for being Champions League contenders every single season. And if they don't have if they don't have a striker this season, it's not the worst thing in the world. Maybe they can play someone as a false nine. I don't know. Maybe that's what Rodrigo would do. I'm not quite sure, but I just can't imagine they're going to go into this season saying, yeah, we're going to take the really old guy from, I can't remember if he's from Valencia. I feel like, you know, maybe I've got that right, but Joselu, there's no way I can see him being their striker for this next season. And yeah, I do think that, you know, we look at it and a lot of PSG fans don't like Karim Benzema from a couple years ago from that rough round of 16 leg in Madrid. But him leaving Real Madrid now could be one of the greatest things that happens to us as far as things outside of the club that's going to affect how we do this season. So, but like I said, I apologize for the bit of elaborated, long response, but I think, Real Madrid, I don't think they can afford to just sit around. We saw how Man City bossed them around last season, and they know that they got to step up their game. They've had a good window so far, but, and not that a striker is your crutch or, Chelsea won the Champions League essentially without a striker a couple years ago, but you can't expect to pull that off, most seasons.
The ultimate thing that they could do is build a real squad without him and then laugh when they knock him out or he gets knocked out. Create a website. Has Mbappe won the Champions League yet? No, it just have a running counter on the PSG website.
Oh my, that would be...
That's the way you could do it. Build a real squad. Nah.
I know that, and that truly it would be the best way to go about this scenario, but obviously that's much easier said than done. And it's much more, it's much easier to just make fake slander headlines about him than to actually go out and have PSG win the Champions League next before Real Madrid.
Wouldn't that be so glorious? If PSG won a Champions League before Mbappe did,
that would be just, I want us to win it with him. But I think given the scenario, at this point, he's going to leave. So I think, at this point, it's like he doesn't even feel like a PSG player anymore. I think if you had said that a couple months ago, we would all say, man, we would love to win it with him. But at this point right now, because If he is at, I think, our home opener against Lorient, or I think it's at home is what I was trying to say.
I think so, yeah.
He is going to get booed by the ultras. A lot of people, you know, were saying, oh, Neymar and Messi are getting booed, and it's because they're not French. No, I can almost promise you that the ultras, some of them, not as many as who booed Neymar and Messi, you know, because some of those people, obviously, they're big French national team supporters, and they can't forget what he's done for France, but PSG fans are going to boo him. It's, you know, I love the passion that our ultras have, even if they're a bit insane and crazy at times. But, you know, the good comes with the bad, I guess. I mean, all the craziest fan bases in sports, or all the most, you know, passionate, they've got, you know, they're known for having the crazies. So I guess I'd rather have that than a real boring fan base. Obviously I'm never going to be for, you know, showing up at Neymar's house or anything like that, or personal insults. I've never got that, but, he is probably going to get booed at the park, on, I think it's August 13th. Is that home opener?
And
I can't imagine he's going to love it, you know, especially, this is my hometown team. He grew up, you know, dreaming of Real Madrid, but his hometown team, PSG, I'm sure he'd love to win the Champions League with us. At this point, the fans are just going to wish that he was gone more than anything. So, it's going to be weird.
We compare him to Erling Haaland a lot, and you look at his trajectory. He was at, what, Salzburg, I believe. Then he went to Dortmund.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a clause in there, right, a buyout that another team could trigger that was reasonable, but also would give Dortmund an incredible return on their investment.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it. That is how, if you have smart people running your career, that's how you do it. You're at a small club, so he's at Monaco, which is not, it's not Salzburg, but it's small. He probably should have went to another club.
You could always make some sort of gentleman's agreement, which, I would, you know, peg Nasser for being a guy that would maybe break those agreements, sadly. But you could always put something in there, be like, look, we will even state it in the contract. This isn't a release clause.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I'm sure you could figure out some sort of legal, not a loophole, but something where, you know, if the player wants to leave, he can point at it and say, look, you promised me that you would make me available for this amount of money, and it's not a release clause. You still have to negotiate it between clubs. But, you know, if I want to leave, then within a certain range of a transfer fee, you got to, you know, this needs to be negotiated and you need to let me leave, sort of thing. So, yeah, I think you're right.
It's also a release clause, but. Yeah, it's also the problem that they had to pay $180 million. So, like, to get a return on that, it's not like Dortmund, who, I don't know, what did they pay? Maybe $20 million or something like that to Salzburg. I forget what it was, but and the buyout was maybe 60 or so. I'm just making these numbers up, but you know, it started small and then went up. Mbappe went from Monaco to PSG for 180. How are you going to recoup that? Like, who's going to pay more than that? It's tough. Even he's a great player.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Paying 180, almost impossible to get a return. I'm actually curious now. I'm going to look up Haaland's.
But I just, and as you do that, I'm just like, that was smart. That's how you do it. When Mbappe made the jump to PSG, that should have been his, okay, I'm at a big club now. This is it. If he always wanted to go to Real Madrid, I don't know if using a club like PSG as a stepping stone was the right plan. Like, I wouldn't have used a club like PSG. There should have been a middle club. Then you get to your real
big club. I agree. And I think that's a good point. I think the biggest, as far as, you know, if you're trying to go to Real Madrid, but you want to use some other club as a stepping stone and make it easy, the biggest kind of club that I feel like you could go to is somewhere like Dortmund with Jude Bellingham just this summer, you know?
Exactly.
Dortmund is about the biggest club that you could realistically use as a stepping stone. And oftentimes that doesn't even work out just because they're always in the Champions League. They technically always have a chance to win the Bundesliga each year. And, you know, two times in the past, you know, 6 years, they've come very, very, very close to winning it. I mean, we saw this year, They literally lost the title in the last 5 minutes on the final day. And yeah, that's about as big of a club. Yeah. You know, if you get, if you want to go to, I mean, imagine, since I always compare us to Bayern in the fact that you can't compare us in the fact that, you know, they're way better run than us. But as far as the two biggest clubs in the world right now that are the club in a what's considered a one club league, you couldn't realistically use Bayern as a stepping stone, you know? So why would you kind of expect to use PSG? I know that, right. You know, I hope that people don't misinterpret the way I'm saying that, because I'm not trying to say that we're like Bayern in all these good ways. I'm saying just as far as, you know, we're league champions of a very, very, you know, top five, top seven league each year. I think Dortmund or somewhere like Benfica, that's about the biggest kind of club that you could realistically use as a stepping stone. But Mbappe chose to come to PSG and, ultimately, I mean, yeah, as far as making a move to Real Madrid, going to somewhere like PSG, or if he had gone to Bayern, if he had gone to Liverpool, that it would have been a lot tougher to go to Real Madrid in the future. Yeah. So, yeah,
I agree. You're at the top, and I know all the trolls be like, oh, you're a small club, no history. But, no, PSG, they're paying big club money. They have big club exposure. You are at a big club. It's very rare when you see a superstar player go from one big club to another big club that are in the same kind of stratosphere.
I mean,
you don't see it very often.
Ronaldo to Madrid, Lewandowski to Barcelona. Yeah, you're right, though. There's really not that many. There's a handful.
It'll be interesting to see. I guess to wrap this conversation up about Mbappe, does he go this summer or do you think he stays?
I think when all that news broke and the drama started, I don't know, what, a month ago or so, I predicted here on the podcast that he was going to leave. And I think I would have kept that opinion for about two more weeks after that. At this point, though, I think he's going to stay. Even though Real Madrid are going to need a striker, I think they're probably just going to sign someone else. And then maybe the thing is with, it's tough with Vinicius on the left wing for them, though, is that's where Mbappe is going to be best. Maybe they – I don't know what they're going to do, but I just don't think that he's going to leave this summer. Yeah, I think he'll still be here. I actually did a – I put a poll on my Twitter earlier today asking that exact question.
How's it looking?
Well, I think it was 60-40 for yes, leaving, no, staying, I think is what I did. Mm-hmm. So most people think that he, or the no, I think, was leaving. So I think most, I think slightly more people were predicting that he would leave still. I just don't see it. I mean, we've got, what day is it? It's the 12th. So we've still got 6-7 weeks of this transfer window left. So a lot could change, I know. Yeah, we've got 6-7 weeks of this. So everyone buckle up. It's going to be a bunch of fun.
If he stays, let the booing commence. The whistling, it's going to be rough those first couple games.
It will be weird. Yeah, it'll be odd.
Ethan, let's what get about you. Yeah, well, I think sadly he is going to stay. I think it's too big of a transfer, and I think that's what he wants. And
yeah,
I just don't think there's a lot of leverage. So I think he stays, and he'll leave, and he'll get booed, and we'll just see how it goes from there. But my gut is telling me he'll stay. My heart wishes he would go so we could get a transfer fee. But we'll see. Let's leave the Mbappe topic and let's get you out of here on this last one. We've got, you know, the players are in training. We've seen pictures. We've seen video. Luis Enrique and the boys out there at the new training facility looks great. The pitch looks immaculate. I wish my yard looked like that. They're going to start their preseason tour in Japan with a match against Al Nassr on July 25th. Just quickly, Ethan, what are you going to be looking for in these relatively meaningless matches?
Yeah, so against Al Nassr, I'm just kind of now realizing that everyone's going to be so bummed that Messi's not going to be there. Everyone is hoping for every neutral for that match is hoping, oh, can we please get one more Messi-Ronaldo match? But no, it will not happen. Sorry, everyone. Things I'm going to be looking for. I want to see how the 4-3-3 is going to kind of look. I want to see how well we can retain possession when teams are pressing. I'm hoping that Al Nassr make a lot of subs, you know, maybe subs every 30 minutes And so they've always got fresh guys on the pitch, and hopefully they make them press a lot, because I want to see how our midfield is going to do. I want to see how Ugarte, if he plays significant minutes, I want to see how he's going to do. I want to see how he does. He won't be playing the same positions just quite, but I'm going to be looking at how our midfield does mostly. I want to see, yeah, because I've always said midfield wins championships, and that'll be what I'm looking for, as well as we're not going in with a real striker. I mean, unless we somehow sign one tomorrow, then we're not going to have our big name striker when, you know, some of these matches happen, or whenever we leave for that trip in less than 2 weeks. So, I guess, you know, is Ekitike going to start? Apparently Icardi's out the door. I'm a little interested to see how that's going to go as well. So, that'll be what I'm looking for. I mean, we do have a match against Inter Milan at the end of the trip, so that'll be a nice competitive match. I'm looking. I want to see how well that possession-based football that Enrique plays is going to go.
Yeah, do we know if Cristiano is going to be playing in that match against Al Nassr?
I imagine he will. Yeah. Yeah. So I can't imagine he wouldn't.
It could be something, you know, keep your eye on. I don't think Neymar's going to be playing in that. Again, if Mbappe plays, probably be just a spot appearance. But I'm probably mostly just looking at the youngsters. Zaire Emery, be great to just see him play, get some more minutes. Some of the young kids, Bitsyabu, who I think is maybe going to go out on loan or sold. We'll have to
yeah, see. I was going to mention that. Yeah, Leipzig might sign him here pretty soon.
So, yeah, it might just be Zaire Emery. But the midfield, just how does Ugarte look? Just how are him and Verratti getting on? How's that just midfield? I think that's the biggest thing. Hernandez, how does he look coming off that knee injury? The defense looking, you know, compact and look like they know what they're doing. I just want to see competency. Do we look like a good team? Do we look like we're gelling? Does anyone look like a newborn giraffe out there, not knowing what they're doing? You know, how, like Luis Enrique on the sideline there, what is he like? Are the players reacting to him? I want to see goals. I want to see crisp passing. I just want to see it all coming together. And of course, I want to see no injuries. That's all I really want to see. I'm not going to get excited wins or losses. I just want to see us look like a real team and see what different things Enrique is doing out there.
Yeah, that's a good point. I do like that you mentioned you want to see the defense doing well. We, you know, for
so having last season,
for having Galtier, who is, you know, he won the Liga title with Lille based off of that insane defense. I think it was captained by Jose Font too, who's like 48 now, basically, and he was still very good that year. It was so weird how bad our defense was last year. But yeah, we're going to be back in the 4-3-3. Hopefully everything that we learned about playing with three in the back, we can just throw out the window.
It's going to be great to see Lee Kang in too, out there. Mm-hmm. Like, where does he play? Does he play on the wing? Does he play more of an attacking role in the midfield?
That will be interesting. Yeah, I don't know where he's going to play, because he could definitely play kind of like Xavi Simons. He could play either wing or as a 10. So I think it'll be interesting. Yeah, I've been predicting that Kangin Lee is going to be the eventual Neymar replacement, or, you know, that's what they've signed him for. Hopefully he can develop to that position. But, yeah, I could be wrong. Who knows?
Yeah, I think it was 22 million, something like that. So
million. Yeah, something like that.
That's
a
significant investment to make for a player that, you know, if you don't have plans for him in the future, I mean, that's a good sizable investment on a player like that. So really high on him. Also love Sharon Dorr, hopefully, again, pronouncing that correctly. But I think if he can get some minutes, I don't think he's a player that I want to go out alone. I think he's actually someone we could probably use. Just that height in the midfield, I think he's just quality. I'm really, really excited about him. So I want to see him. And that's probably the one youngster that I'm going to be looking at the most in preseason. All right, Ethan, we've kept you too long. We'll let you go. Thanks so much for joining. We'll catch you next time.